I don't know if you have ever used the phrase "not to something completely different." I mean, now this is really completely different. You know, I mean, completely. You know, not even in terms of age, so, but also in terms of content and everything. Yeah, but nevertheless, it relates to OpenACS, of course. Yeah, it relates to Tickle because what I would like to show you briefly is what we are doing in Austria with this technology. From my point of view, it's quite impressive. Yeah, we are serving the Austrian school sector to an extent that couldn't be even more extended, as far as I would see. My name is Bernd Simon. I'm CEO of Knowledge Markets. I present a couple of projects today that are using Tickle, that are using OpenACS. And these projects are, of course, based on the technology of that we are using here at this university in the context of Professor Neumann's department, based on his work and other fellows. And of course, it's based on the team. Yeah, we're happy to see Franz here today, who is also working with me on all these projects. And Michael is also with us today. Thank you for having us today. He used to work for Knowledge Markets, I think, for 10 years or something like that. Yeah, and yeah. So this is basically the context of the work. We are a company of about 20 folks here in Vienna using that technology. We have like 10 people working in the consulting team and 10 people developing code. Yeah? And we are completely focused on educational technology. This is what we do. We have a couple of off-the-shelf solutions on feedback systems that we actually sold to this university. We have ebook solutions, we have learning content, which is more consulting job. We have e-testing solutions, we have learning management systems, and we do then also what I found out yesterday is called bespoke solutions, not off-the-shelf solutions. Yeah. And what I would like to show you today is how an open architecture serves its purpose for developing ecosystems in e-learning. And before I go into details there, I would like to introduce the term a little bit. I mean, everybody knows what the ecosystem is, of course. Yeah. And the interesting thing about it is that it relates very nicely to information systems. It provides a very nice perspective on how you design interconnected systems. Yeah? Interconnected not only in the technical sense, but also in the sense of, you know, bringing people together, bringing stakeholders together, allowing them to control, to govern different aspects of this ecosystem. Yeah? And we had the situation that we have a very complex ecosystem in Austria when it comes to learning, yeah, especially in the school sector, because you have the Ministry of Education, you have the Ministry of Family Affairs, you have the various government boards on the regional levels. We have the teachers, of course, with the parents, of course, and everybody wants to design and build up their system in the way they would like to do it, yeah, and we had to come up with a solution that is very flexible in terms of scalability in the technical sense, but also in an organizational sense. Yeah, because we didn't have the one person who is able to dictate or to steer this project. Yeah, we had several other stakeholders who did that. And based on that, we had to think about things like who are our constituents and who is what about the governance, what are the processes, what are the structures of that, what are the technical and social conditions for running that, that are also quite challenging to a certain extent, and you know, how do these people interconnect with each other and steer this initiative. Yeah? And when I mean steer this initiative, I mean initiative that has a budget of 100 million euros in Austria alone. Yeah? We have a secondary market student support and all these kind of things of, again, 100 million euros. And so there's a lot of money involved. And because of that, you know, you have a lot of stakeholders. You know, and this is really something that is driving you, because people are complaining if they are not able to control their things in the way they would like to do or to like to have it happen. Yeah. So this is basically the situation. I know this is a bit abstract, yeah. Sorry about that, yeah. But it relates quite pragmatically then to the technical situation, which I personally find very interesting. And I have two case studies with me. One is under development, is the first one, and the other one is already implemented and running for quite some time. The first case study is called EduActive, which is really a brand new thing. It's about interactive learning material. It's about the student support market in Austria, but even beyond. Yeah, I call it Austrian case study, but we clearly aim also to the German market. We want to go for the German market as well, and also Switzerland, of course. But this is really a small market because also the German-speaking Switzerland is rather small. And here again, you have a public-private cooperation to a certain extent. At least you have several stakeholders. Here you have a Ministry of Education who wants to provide teachers, instructors, but even parents with learning materials. You have the textbook publishers who are in a situation that they need to change quite a bit. Need to change quite a bit means that they come from the hardcover printing business, and now they need to go online with their tools, with their content, with all the things that they are doing. And this is, of course, quite a change. Yeah, and not all publishers are able to manage the change very well. As a result, we invented this EduActive thing because we wanted them to have a quick start into the digital business. Yeah, so they can come to us and say, "Well, I have this textbook and I want to have interactive learning material. Please develop this interactive learning material for us." Yeah, and this is what we are doing. Yeah, and this is quite appreciated already in the market. Although there's nothing out there, there's no website, nothing. Yeah, we have already five big publishing houses that work with us and that are in cooperation with us to develop this type of interactive material. And when you have all the stakeholders, you know, you have, of course, the situation that, again, different opinions exist, how tools should look like, how learning materials should look like. And what I've learned over the years, especially also in my work here at the university, is that there isn't the authoring environment out there for learning material. Yeah, because it makes a huge difference if you create learning material for secondary education, for primary education. It makes a huge difference if you create learning material for math versus creating learning material in English. Yeah, of course, there's some common denominators, yeah, like multiple choice exams and all these kind of things. Yeah. But at the end, if you go into details, you have quite a diversity of tools out there. And so we have the situation also here that although we are only speaking with five publishing houses, we have already quite an opinion how things should look like. Yeah, and so we are again created an environment which is flexible here. Yeah. And at the end, we came up with the following stakeholders, of course, that the parent and the learner is in the focus together with the instructor, yeah. But again, we have this publishing house as stakeholder. They come up with our authoring tool called H5B, for example, that we also need to integrate, yeah. And how do we do this? How do we do this seamlessly? We are using LTI. We're using the OpenSAS package on LTI to connect these different systems together and develop our user experience, which is quite seamless for the user. And I will report on how this is perceived later on. So these are basically the stakeholders, and this is basically what we're focusing on. As you can see, also with a web shop, you're using Magento here, which is quite fun. But again, LTI and the OpenACS is a core technology here. Yeah, what is LTI about? It's about two systems trusting each other. Yeah, it's about sharing a secret so that the tool provider and the tool consumer can interconnect. Yeah, this is in simple words for non-technical people like me, or the idea of LTI, and it has brought quite a spin into the e-learning domain because it opens up systems. Yeah, not all vendors are happy about that. Yeah, you see also still vendors out there like the big corporates, SAP, for example, that don't believe in this thing, and they don't do that. But if you look into Moodle, OLAT, I don't know what, it's like, I would say that the major players that focusing on the corporate, on the non-corporate domain, sorry about that, on the non-corporate domain, use LTI in order to open up their ecosystems for learning and to build up something that is quite flexible in terms of services and content provided. Yeah. So we're a huge fan of LTI. Yeah, it's actually great again having Michael here today, because it was Michael who brought this also in our company. And when we had our first experience on this technology or on this approach, I think it's already 7 years ago or something like that, we developed this OpenACS package for using LTI in the context of a learning management system. Yeah, so this is basically what LTI is about. Yeah, I would like to show you and also demo to you live how it feels like. Yeah, it's basically the DQ for School project, where we took this really to the large. I'm leaving the PowerPoint slide presentation now, I hope. Yes, and demo that for you briefly. So this is a site that we are running on behalf of several stakeholders. Yeah, and it's the Austrian digital textbook site. Yeah, we have in the meantime we have already 900,000 registered users on that site. So this is basically every pupil out there in Austria in secondary education. Yeah. Why is that? Because all the Austrian school textbooks are available online. Yeah. And as you can see here, we are on this server here, and I'm not logged in right now. Yeah, so I'll leave that out for a moment since I can't use my laptop right now. But if you go now to a different different book like this one here, you're interconnected using LTI, yeah, and you're logged on automatically. These servers trust each other, and as you can see, these books look completely different. Why is that? Because they stem from a completely different service. Yeah. So, for example, this is a service that we are providing for this publishing house, and this is another company using another technology and using another vendor for developing their digital textbooks. Yeah. And again, we are using LTI for interconnecting to these systems. Yeah. And the fun thing about this is that you can also do this via other systems, like, for example, learning management systems. I'll try to connect to another one. I don't know if this will work. I don't think this will work. No, this will not work. No. Sorry about that. So the idea basically here is that you can also start from this learning management system and connect again to this infrastructure as well. Yeah. So this is something that also LTI provides us with. Yeah. And what was this project about? It's again, as I said, digital textbooks. Yeah, several stakeholders, several people having different opinions on how this thing should look like. Yeah, and we are not developing that in a way that we are developing it with one set of requirements. Yeah, but we are diversifying the processes of the requirements engineering and connecting then the results of this requirements engineering process. Again, using LTI. And as you can see, now this looks a little bit even more complicated in terms of stakeholders. Here, the learner is really in the focus. It's not only that the parent, the instructor come into play using learning management systems like the one I tried to show you before. Yeah, and they have also the learners also have the apps where they could download it on their devices, etc., etc. Yeah, and you have also other stakeholders like the booksellers themselves. They are also interconnected in this environment because they generate the access codes and they distribute the code, the books physically as well. Yeah, because the interesting thing about this project is that although the textbooks are available online to 100%. Pupil in Austria also get the physical textbooks as well. Yeah, and so the booksellers come into play. By the way, Austria has the biggest percentage of booksellers in the European market because they are kind of subsidized through this project, et cetera, so they are important stakeholders as well. Yeah, and so it was also important to serve them with their needs and to connect with their system according to their requirements. Yeah. What were design principles that we realized using OpenSAS? Completely learner-centered. Yeah, we don't manage schools. We're now managing classrooms, which is rather new. Yeah, GDPR compliant, very important. Instructor support, as I said, just a brief a basic functionality, mini LMS functionality using the so-called Class Connector service. And what was very important in order also to reduce the pain of providing support is top usability. So we involved about 1,000 students over the years in usability testing, which is quite a lot, yeah. And it really paid off, yeah, as you could see, because the results were then quite positive at the end, I have to say, yeah. And also very important, we connect to third-party websites as well, yeah. And for us, the interesting thing is, although we have this diversified approach, yeah, with different systems designed in different ways when it comes to the way the people collect their requirements, implement their requirements, etc., and having this connected, how does the user perceive this system? Yeah, do they like this system? Although it's a rather dispersed system, and well, the interesting thing is they like it. Yeah, so we did a user survey this year, and we got really extraordinary results compared to other user surveys we do for other vendors or that we do in the context of other projects. And what you can see here is like that we have a satisfaction rate. This is this bar here, yeah, of above 90%. Yeah, which is really amazing. Yeah, so on average. Our users are satisfied with the service to the degree of 92%, yeah, which is really really a lot, also compared to others. And what is also what was also fun to see is that the usability rating is also extremely high. Yeah, again compared to other systems that we. That we surveyed, we have here a satisfaction rate of 95% even, yeah, which again was quite a surprise for us because we didn't expect that due to the fact that this system is so dispersed, yeah. So to conclude, I think this is really a fun way to do projects, complex projects, in a way that you set up dispersed system and to connect these systems using LTI. Yeah, it makes your life a little bit easy because you have a lot of stakeholders who can kind of steer their project in a way they like. Yeah, and the fear that we had that this would have a negative impact on the user side. Yeah. That didn't show up. Yeah, so we have a clear picture here that users are happy. Yeah, and yeah, that's basically it. So thank you. Yeah, thank you for having me today.
Thank you very much. Time for questions.
Thank you for the talk. You mentioned one of your systems has 900,000 registered users.
That's right, yeah.
And is that, of those 900,000, how many are actually using it? Or what's the volume of regular use? And then can you talk a little bit about the infrastructure that supports that?
So we have about, out of these 900,000 registered users, we have about 200 and 250,000 users active per month. Yeah, we have page impressions. I don't know, but in the hundreds of millions of page views per month. Yeah, because this is quite an intense website. Because you know, if you book every page you click you turn to is a page that generates a page impression. Yeah, it's a highly dispersed system in the sense that we have like, okay, we have the bookshelf, and this is where the registration takes place. But when you go to the book itself, you go to this delivery engine. You can actually see that in the UL. So you see, for example, here we have this A, yeah, for Auslieferer, which means delivery in German, yeah. And so we have the delivery engine of that system, and because of that fact, it's also very scalable, yeah. Because if you have like more books, you know, you just add another server, yeah, no problem, yeah. Yeah, okay. I don't know if this answers your question, sir.
Maybe I also can add something. I mean, also in the Corona time, this LMS AT was really behaving very well compared to the rest of the Austrian infrastructure. And one time, I think I remember, was I think 60 or 70,000 users logging in at the same time in Austria on a single machine, running as a virtual machine on this LMS AT, which is just a part of this infrastructure. It's using three different, France maybe say it, different authorization schemes. It is also, authorization is coming from Office 365 as a local authorization, and what else? I think there's a couple of...
Yeah, we have like, this is the registration, this is the local registration, and this is our Shibboleth implementation, and this is the Office 360. Yeah.
But they're going to the same user directory. And
talk. I saw this cartoon character saying you earned an edu coin, so it's not a transformation from a textbook to this online platform, but you have some elements of gamification.
Yeah, that's right.
What is this coin for? Just for motivation, or do you have to earn coins to go to the next step? Did you do this, or did the publisher request this?
No, this is our invention. Yeah, with all the things that are still missing to complete this in a perfect sense. What I try to say is that EduActive is a project which really focuses on the learner in the sense that we want like to motivate people to keep in a way that they keep engaged. Yeah, it's like a game. You know, a perfect game keeps players playing, right? That this is what the perfect game is about. And the same is true for EduActive, yeah? Or we try to do, although, you know, it's not gaming, it's learning, and learning is a pain, yeah? Except for you, sir, yeah? But, and so we have some elements that make fun, yeah? And so you get motivational elements, like for example, if you continue learning and you're getting better and better, the color changes, and at the end, you earn these edus, yeah. And the idea is that you can transfer these edus in other things, like for example, we have one initiative scheduled where you can convert these edus into earth coins, and with the earth coins, you can plant trees. Yeah. So the idea behind is, you know, we have all these folks not going to school on Friday. Yeah. And we want to tell them and say, well, guys, you can stay in school. Yeah. Stay in school. Yeah. Exercise with our tool, and instead of facing the government with all your issues, go there and generate earth currents, and we plant trees for you. Yeah. So that's the idea. Okay, cool. Yeah, Bitcoin. Yeah. Okay, something like that. Yeah.
Okay, how important is a hardware component? Do you need pencil and paper? Should every student have a tablet or a laptop?
You know, we had this interesting government out there in Austria, yeah, and they had this idea of providing all Austrian students with hardware. Yeah, and which is a kind of not so well thought idea. We had this actually 15 years ago, and it failed. Yeah, but that was something that took place, you know. And so we are facing the situation in Austria where we have in secondary education one in the age of 10 to 14 or K-12 or something like that, we have all students equipped with laptops or something like that, tablets. Yeah, and the missing part there is that people don't have content for that. Yeah, it's not perfectly true because we have the digital textbooks, but the digital textbooks, although they come with multimedia elements, they are not perceived as exercising material, as I was showing with EduActive, for example. Yeah, so what we are trying to compensate for is filling this gap, yeah, so that hardware is out there, kind of motivated teachers out there, kind of, yeah, and but the content isn't there, yeah. So this is what we're doing. So we were providing them with content, yeah, yeah, okay.
As OpenACS developers ourselves, we know it works very well. In this case, it scales very well. Why do you like it? What value is it providing to your business?
Good question. Yeah, what I love about ACS is this tenant-based approach. Yeah, and I keep telling people we were in the cloud before you guys know that the cloud is out there. Yeah, because we had this decentralized solution, and we have this tenant-based approach. And while when we founded the company, you had persons in school installing the local learning management system in the school, yeah, on premises, on school servers. Of course, this failed completely, yeah, in many dimensions, organizationally, technically, scalability in terms of content, et cetera, et cetera. Yeah. We launched LMSIT 2005 or something like that, and we had this cloud-based approach where every school had this tenant, and this is so tremendously useful. Yeah, and we do the same thing in business. Yeah, for the corporate clients, again the same thing. Yeah, and they get their own style, their own CSS. They get their own domain if they like. And this instantaneously, we can provide a learning management system within a day, yeah, even customized, yeah. And this is something this technology does for us, yeah. And here again with EduActive, it's just amazing. You know, you open up a tenant for a new client, you have a new partner, a new publishing house coming in with their own requirements in terms of authoring tools. No problem, yeah. You get your tenant, we do some customization for them. And this scales organizationally, and this is fun, yeah, yeah, okay.
Okay. Yeah, thank you very much.
Thank you.